This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 20, Social Live Improv. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here at GamesAtWork.biz with my co-host, bud, faraway person, Michael Martin.
Faraway friend.
There you go.
Hey, Michael. I'm glad to be here with you again for this latest episode. And we're missing Phaedra today.
Yes.
Hi, Phaedra. We're missing
Hi, Phaedra.
You.
So you guys had a rocking show last week, and I was so bummed that events conspired to keep me on off the show. So I was really jealous when I was listening to last week's recording. It sounds like you had a blast. We played the whole time.
We certainly did. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's why we do this podcast to begin with. This is play for us.
Absolutely. And I was looking at a couple of the new videos that our guest last week posted on her Kickstarter and website, there was lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, I've not had a chance to do the quick follow there, but you know, she is definitely using these social channels and occupying Kickstarter until she gets her demands met.
Yes,
and Garbanzo for that matter too.
Yes, and I thought it was funny. I listened to one podcast. It's an NPR show that I don't think we have around here. It's called The Dinner Party Download. Have you heard of this show?
Sorry, no, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Okay, and the reason I bring it up. So The Dinner Party Download is a show that gives you things to talk about at dinner parties, right? So it's kind of a news show, but it's absolutely not a news show. They start off and say, this is the stuff you probably heard about this week. Now, ignore all that. And let's talk about fun stuff, right? And one of the things they do, they always have, you know, some really interesting guest, and they, you know, do small talk and other stuff, and they end every interview with two questions. One is, tell us something that you don't think anybody knows. And it could be about you, it could be about, you know, science, it could be about, you know, the arts, anything. And the second question is, give us the one question that you're really tired of being asked.
The one question you're tired of being asked.
Yeah, and it's basically a way of getting them to answer that question without actually asking the question.
Well, that's horrible. It's
devious.
It's a mind worm sort of thing, you know?
Yes, and so I thought it was really funny when you guys asked the question about the Muppets, and she goes, yeah, everybody always wants to ask about that.
Yeah, well, I mean...
it was a great conversation, though. It was lots of fun.
And she tried to get me to sing, you know, the Fraggle Rock scene.
How does that go again?
Song. Yeah, you know, well, you know, I probably should have sang.
You should have sung it because
it's a play thing. You know,
she was
engaging me to play, and I didn't.
Yes,
play.
And you bailed.
It's kind of like the first rule of improv comics
is,
you know,
no matter how crazy
comedy,
it is, go ahead and do it.
You can't say no.
Right.
No is not allowed.
Right.
So is that a huge gorilla that's sitting on top of your head?
Yes. Matter of fact.
See?
That gorilla's been there for 12 years. It was a small little gorilla earlier, and it just keeps growing. I thought it was a monkey on my back to start with, but it eventually merged to a gorilla.
And what's he picking out of your ear?
Well, that's a secret. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Good stuff there. And, you know, for those people who have not listened to Gwen Gordon yet, go check out last week's episode. She is awesome. You can follow her on Twitter at Seriously the Movie. Actually, Seriously Movie.
Seriously Movie.
Seriously Movie, all one word. Go check out her Kickstarter. It's happening right now. It's through October 9th. They're not really asking for a ton of money. Right. Most Kickstarters really are looking for a significant amount of money because they're doing some kind of manufacturing or they're starting from scratch. They're looking for $25,000 for their total goal. They've got almost 300 backers right now, only about 12,000 in pledges already, and they've got 25 days to go. So go check it out. The minimum pledge or the minimum backing is only a dollar, and you get some really cool stuff. The one that I was looking at, and I've been backing way too many Kickstarters lately, so I might have to back down, right, is the Your Little Munchkin in the Film. So they will put your pictures having of your kids playing in the film.
Oh, I thought you had munchkins, you know, like from Dunkin' Donuts.
No, and I don't have kids, so I'm really good. Or the Tickled Pink, you get a flamingo surprise. So lots of different ways to support Gwen and the team over at Seriously the Movie. I was so jealous again, and I can't comment any more than that because it will just make me even more jealous.
Well, thanks again for bringing her to the show, Michael. I know you wanted to be here for it, and we had a blast with her. And you know, maybe when the movie comes out, we can
do a launch party, a launch episode. Yes, that's an awesome idea.
And you could also, if you really are that dedicated, you can do Dance Where You Are Day. So you know that's coming up soon.
Yes, and who says I'm not dancing during this podcast?
Well, I'm trying to view you all in your picture, and your picture doesn't show you dancing.
So well, I need to put an animated GIF there. Anyway. So one of the things we talked about right before the show is really looking at the intersection between gaming technology and the social space, right? And how that's playing out. And just kind of do a general discussion for a little bit today as we keep listening to our listeners and our people who follow us on Google Plus, on our Google Plus page or on our Facebook page or on our Twitter site or on our blog, getting some great feedback from people both online and offline for new ideas on the show. But Michael, you had some thoughts around this.
Yeah, I did. I mean, when you think around social business and you're thinking about collaboration and where gaming and gamification, I know Shudder, intersect with it, there are a number of ways that this is starting to pop into the, into everyone's news streams and the like. So I've been reading some articles. We read one. You actually sent it to me, I think, not that long ago about FedEx launching their new social collaboration platform and how they're using gaming structures with various badges and various leveling up kinds of capabilities going forward. And it got me to be thinking again about where the engagement and where the gaming aspect of this really can be ultra successful. And when we were starting the show, I'll just use this as part of my example. We're talking a little bit about the band They Might Be Giants.
They are giants. Not might be giants. They are giants.
Well,
giants, sure, in media.
Well, that's like saying
giants in fun music.
Yes is not no or something.
But. Yes. Yes, you said that. I agree.
Yes.
So, and yes could be a giant gorilla on your head.
Could be. Could be. But
probably
but,
not.
Anyway, where I was heading with the They Might Be Giants is these are guys. This is a band that's done, I think, a fantastic job of social interaction on a variety of platforms and channels. You know, they've got a very active web page, of course, which you have to have these days. They have a very active Twitter feed. They've been on Ping and iTunes. They've been in a variety of places. And one of the things that you can get, part of the game here is that you get insight and information from the band if you are paying attention to what they are saying.
Ooh.
So isn't that cool? So for example, They Might Be Giants have this concept of the Super President's Club.
Ah.
Which is kind of like super genius. Super genius. But it's no it's super president. And the Super President's Club is something that they do on a, on an annual basis. And the deal is that if you support the band directly, Not only will you, by prepaying and supporting the band directly financially, will they send you their latest albums, in some cases their albums that are not yet released, and they'll come to you, but they'll do other special things, kind of like what Gwen was doing with her Kickstarter. You know, you can get special activities, special, you know, unique elements that you might not otherwise be able to get. And one of the things that They Might Be Giants does is that at the Super President's Club level, at least for this year, they were going to do custom ringtones. So they would do a ringtone for you.
Just for
their,
you.
Of their own choosing.
Yes.
But just for you.
It's kind of like winning Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail.
Yes, exactly.
Which I love, because I've actually, so for people who have no idea what I'm talking about, is there's a show called Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a quiz show about news stuff. And Carl Castle is a well-known newscaster.
Radio commentator.
Radio commentator, et cetera.
And newscaster, sure.
And newscaster from back in the day and still currently. The only award that they give for people who call in and do some of the quizzes is his voice on your voicemail. Well, I've gone to a couple of live shows and recordings of that show, and they actually let you hear him put some of the tracks down for people's voicemails. And they are hilarious. You get no say in what it's going to be, right? and they are a blast. So I really like the idea that it's a ringtone of their choosing. So
yes.
do they actually like put your name in it? Like, instead of Birdhouse in Your Soul, it could be Birdhouse in Michael's Soul, or Michael in Your Soul, or Michael in Your Birdhouse, or, you know, something goofy like that.
There is limited customization request possibilities.
So it's like, do Birdhouse in Your, insert name here.
Well, maybe so. I just thought it was so incredibly cool and unique. And these are the sort of ways of interacting when you're looking across social channels and looking for engagement and trying to get people to migrate to a social way of sharing what you're doing from a work perspective, or I'm thinking about, you know, my day-to-day work here, where I've seen way too many things happening via email that really don't need to happen via email. You know,
right.
Requests for help that get cascaded up and down and through, you know, various levels and hierarchies. It's like, gosh, guys, you know, we're looking for instantaneous turnaround, and instantaneous turnaround is, you know, activity feed. It's Twitter. It's Facebook. It's notification.
Let me fax that to you.
Yeah, it's like, let me fax that to you. And so that got me to think about, okay, how can we most effectively use the things that work so well in games to help them? Oh, there you go. I have a new message on my phone, which is kind of like a game too.
Ooh, it's like a little gift.
It's like a gift. It's like, yeah. But
danger, Will Robinson, danger.
How can we find our way to make the social business enablement that much easier and get people to leverage social technologies faster for business purposes?
Well, I go back to last week on Play, right? So,
yeah.
So if you can make it fun and engaging in a meaningful, fun way, not in a in the way that I've got badges, right? Then you'll get people to want to spend time in doing it that way, and it will actually incent people to move into new ways of doing social business and engagement instead of sending the fax, right? And the one thing that I thought about as you were describing this, Michael, is when I think of the transitions between new technologies or new ways of doing things, that engagement has to be there in a way that you get some intrinsic value. So one of the things that I've seen lately, and I was reading an analyst blog on a topic not related to this show, and they were talking about how they could engage with people on stuff, and it all seemed so, I use the term like shouting into the wind, right? They were yelling out their message, and all their engagement stuff was hidden behind the scenes. So if you're going to engage in a social space, social is not about, you know, watching a movie. Social is much more like going to a live improv show and engaging with the person on stage. right? Mm-hmm. It's the engagement aspect, the two-way or multi-way communications that is the definition of social. It's not about having a Twitter feed where you send links to your blog every week, right? And you know, that's one of the things that I always look for in with people that I follow on Twitter or you know, on Google Plus or on Instagram or, you know, some other social site, is where you can actually begin that discussion, right? To actually have that interaction, not just a reaction.
Yes. Yes, and to me that makes all the difference in the world, right? Because it's really a reward for that level of interaction, and in some ways, you know, the reward is, hey, your tweet is up on the stage, right? Exactly. You know, it's up on the big lights that are next to the presenter, and there's a little bit of an endorphin rush. It's like, oh, look, there's my thing, and then it's the reactions of others that are there too. So there's a little bit of a game. When you think about it in that way,
it could be dodgeball.
it could be, right? It's like, oh shoot, you know.
But by the way, one of the things that I really really enjoyed about the seriously the movie trailers and other things was that constant theme of the ball being passed between interviewees. I don't know if
yes,
you caught that.
Okay, right, I remember now. Sorry, it took me a moment, but yes.
Kind of at the beginning of a talk, a ball would be thrown at them, and then they would talk about something, and then they would throw the ball off camera, and the next person would catch a ball. And if you really pay attention, the ball was not always the same ball, but the way yes. they did the edits and the cuts, it was awesome.
It was pretty good, yeah. They landed like that. And there's a similar mechanism to or a similar set of commercials that I've seen before with passing basketballs and stuff. It kind of operates the same way. It
basketball?
I didn't say basketball, but I will. I love that game. You know, it's a game, right? You know, it was actually played.
It was. I heard they made a documentary about it.
But it was an actual game before – it was a movie.
Right. And so, it wasn't really a documentary. It was a comedy.
I had a fun one at that. I really liked it too.
Yeah. So what can you think? I mean, the They Might Be Giants example, I think, is awesome, right? That way of engaging that conversation and making the listen reward aspect of it, right? But let's take it one step further. And what would you say is a good example that you've seen lately of the real two-way conversation of a major business or property?
Good question. Give me a moment, and I will think about it.
I know there's some small businesses that I follow on Twitter, as an example, where anytime you talk about that, somebody from that account will jump in and will engage in the conversation. I think those are great examples.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you two examples of that. So first example is the social company Waze, right? So
absolutely.
W-A-Z. We've talked about them a lot of times.
Matter of fact, I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but when iOS 6 comes out,
yes.
Waze is one of the contributors for all the maps on the new Google Map, the new iPhone Apple Maps program.
That is super awesome, and my hat is tipped to Waze and my fellow Wazers for that.
I'm sorry, I got to bug you again about that. Have you had a chance in Hungary to use Waze much, or you're still in the transition phase?
No. So this is where I'm heading. So number one, I'm a huge Waze fan. And for those of you listening who go with Waze, what? W-A-Z-E. It's an application, runs on multiple platforms. It's a social outsmarting traffic together application that helps you to identify the best route to get where you're going.
It's like the time goblin.
And avoid, yes, like the time goblin. I gobble time. And it helps you avoid the traffic zones. And even while you're driving, other Waze users that are out there that are stuck in traffic are automatically reporting that up to the Waze servers so that when you're getting close, it can say, hey, you know what? I found a better route to get you home. Take this turn instead. You're going to save 5 minutes. Or, hey, there's traffic building up ahead. You're going to be late.
So, and it's free. Let's mention that.
And it's free, and it's got gaming aspects to it, which we won't go into here because we've talked about that several times. So I'm a big Waze fan. I'm here in Hungary. I use Waze to help me navigate around the city. It actually does a fantastic job, in fact, better job in terms of mapping and directions than other commercial mapping applications. Hint, hint, hint.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, say no more.
Exactly, but I love it. And I reached out to my Waze colleagues over at Waze.com because I was thinking, gosh, why am I getting all of these awards and rewards and little candies and stuff? I'm way too high a level in terms of Waze, my Wazehood, to be getting all this. And I recognized pretty quickly, well, the reason why I'm getting all those awards is because it thinks I'm a Waze newbie.
Oh, they didn't tie you back because it must be tied to something else.
Yeah, well, it's tied to where are you in the world and the servers that are supporting the location. So the Waze servers supporting the United States and Canada are different Waze servers than those that support Europe. So my stats did not carry over from the U.S. to Europe, and so I was starting anew. Even though
you lost all your points.
Well, I haven't. They are still there. They're waiting for me in the United States. So you asked me the question about, you know, what larger entity has, you know, had a good interaction here. Well, I Twittered at Waze.
Tweeted.
I used the Twitter to contact Waze and said, hey, guys, what gives? You know, I've lost, you know, my shield, sword, and crown. And they said, well, they explained it to me the way I did. And it's like, okay, well, but it was a nice level of interaction. And we had a little conversation. And it was nice to know. And it builds, again, the conversation with the brand.
Right.
And we've seen that happen with other places. So the other one that I'll give you an example of, this is not terribly recent, but it is a favorite of mine. And I know at least at one point it was a favorite of yours too, probably still is the Bojangles company.
Yeah.
A great job of communicating with the people that are following and talking about Bojangles as well. So they'll say fun things and they will react and respond when you say fun things about them too. And I find that is a nice way of interacting with the brand, even though I know it's a person behind it, but you're talking with the brand and communicating with the brand and getting a brand level response back, which I think is great.
Yes, and I like me some Bose. I really, really like me some Bose. I have a personal challenge to myself to not have some until I hit a certain health status. And unfortunately, all the work and stuff lately has shifted my trajectory back in the wrong direction. So I need to fix that so I can go back and get me some Bose.
But what do you need to increase your health status by? 22 or do you have to upgrade to level 7?
I need to hit the level 20, 35,612.
Oh. That seems kind of difficult. Hopefully you are 26,010 or something.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I'm close. It's just the wrong direction.
But you asked me the question, so let's. You probably have an example or two that you've seen recently. What would you say?
Yeah, I think recently the ones that I've been seeing more have been small local companies. You know, our good friends at Bean Traders are always engaging. I think they've really stepped up and started engaging on social media much more than they did originally.
Yes.
Which is much goodness there, and I salute them. Matter of fact, I drank coffee this morning.
Incidentally, Dave and our Bean Traders guys ought to know that I've actually pointed a person here in Budapest at them because he's been sourcing coffee out of North Carolina, out of Counterculture Coffee.
Culture.
You may want to like to try. You may like to try also the Bean Traders.
Absolutely, that's great.
I also pointed at Larry's Beans, too, because they are another North Carolina local company that I think produced some outstanding beans. So it's like, you know, hey, this is kind of cool. If you like this, you might like this and you might like that. And so that was just a cool social interaction that actually happened socially, offline, just talking to people. Imagine I do that every once in a while.
The other one is, you know, I've been looking at some mobile development around games, and the mobile game community of, you know, small startup programming shops that are doing mobile games are very engaging and will drive conversations on, you know, what are challenges that they're seeing around certain platforms. You know, if you find issues with their games, they're jumping in. And I think it really is that the company is one or two people, one, you know, maybe five people. And so they need that feedback and they still value that one-on-one reaction or interaction with their customers. And I really hope that as this keeps bubbling up into larger and larger customers, larger and larger companies, that they remember that interaction and treat it as an interaction and not just as a marketing message.
Yeah, exactly. Because once you kind of flip that bit, you're not nearly as authentic anymore because it's now a marketing discussion. So even companies that are obviously very much marketing for their brand, if they're doing it in a social, fun, playful,
yep,
kind of way, that at least at the moment is bypassing our standard advertising shields up response.
Right. Well, I know we've got one topic today, and I think we're probably at a good stopping time.
I think so too.
I look forward to feedback from any new listeners that are just starting to hear from, just starting to listen to the show. We want to hear your feedback. Again, we are on Google+, we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter. We have the site over at gamesatwork.biz. And we value and encourage your feedback and your discussion with us.
Your questions, your thoughts, your...
One question I do have I'd like to throw out there is right now our blog requires you to register at the site to post comments.
That's true.
And therefore, you know, we don't have a lot of comments there, so you might come there and go, hey, where are all the comments? And, you know, blame me. I set up the registration the way I did because I was really concerned we were getting tons and tons of spam comments, both when we tried to do some forums, and I figure that is a problem. I'm looking at integrating the blog with either a Twitter OAuth integration or a Facebook Connect integration to allow you to leave comments via either of those accounts. So if you like that idea, if you think that's relevant, probably the easiest way right now is to go on our Facebook
page
go on our Facebook page and comment, or to tweet us over at gamesatwork_biz, or yes, myself at MichaelRowe01, or
me at Carolina Big Blue,
or Phaedra, our other co-host at Innovate Game with the number 8. And we'd love to hear your feedback and your comments on that thought.
All right. Well, Michael, it's been a real pleasure that we've had a chance to catch up and chat today. I have a nice, playful experience, and looking forward to next week's show.
Woohoo! Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.